blessing. Good morning. How is everybody? Good to see each one of you out here on this beautiful Lord's Day. And I want you to take part in the singing. By the way, we're taking applications for the choir up here. I know there's some beautiful voices out there because I hear you every Sunday. And it'd be good if we had you up here. Just a suggestion, a strong suggestion. So if you feel like singing, come on up here. Good to see you nonetheless. If you're visiting, we're glad you're here and you're our welcome and honored guest. We're glad to have Brother Swofford here today, and we're looking forward to what the Lord has for us through him. In the meantime, let's begin our singing service with the Yellow Book, as we called it, and we'll start with number 207, a song we don't do much. My loved ones are waiting for me, 207. You're sounding good. I'm telling you, all of you could be in the choir. 223. I love this song. 223. Let's sing the whole song, all four verses.
Thank you. good like that. I'm thankful for the good playing. I enjoy listening to y'all sing each and every Sunday. It's always a privilege of mine, and I it sounds different up here than it does back there. I want you to understand that. And we're glad to see each and every one here today. Glad to have our visitors with us today. Some have been gone for a while, and we're glad to see you back. Good to see Miss Nettie, Sister Barbara both back today. They've been down on us here for the last little bit. We're glad they're back to be with us today. And I want us to be prayerful for them, that they'll continue to do well. Maybe even get well is what we'll say. But we always want the Lord's will to be done, don't we? It's good to see everybody out here today. I hope you've had a blessed week. I know Brother Stewart talked like he'd had one of those rough weeks in which everything went wrong. That's what he said during Sunday school. Now, we all have them from time to time, don't we? I had one of those a couple weeks ago. And especially on a Monday, it seemed like everything I did, I should have just left it alone and went somewhere else is what I should have done. But I understand that feeling when you don't think that you can't do anything right. But there's always, well, I'll just say I was working on a piece of equipment, and I'll just say if I had given up completely, you know what it'd be? It'd still be tore up. We've got to keep on going, don't we? Sometimes that's how we feel in church, don't we? Sometimes we think, well, it doesn't really do any good to go to church. Sometimes we think, well, it doesn't do any good to go to Sunday school or even Bible study even. Good Lord, why would we want to go to church so many times? You see, it is partially for us that we go to church. But the main reason we go to the Lord's house is to worship. And I want us to keep that in mind today. Whether you're coming in for our church service today, you're coming in to worship. You're coming in to Sunday school. Yes, you're coming in to learn, but you're coming in to be a better worshiper and should worship during Sunday school. I've seen services break out during Sunday school. And the same thing goes for Bible study. We're learning about God that we might worship Him better. And I hope and pray that we will try to do better about doing that. I'll encourage you to come out for our Sunday school. I'll encourage you to come out for our church services and for our Bible studies. I'll even encourage you to come up here and help Brother Fabian and the boys out in the choir. They need help. We all need help, don't we? So I'm encouraging you to try to do for the Lord here in these coming days is what we need to do. And we're thankful for each and every one being here today. We want to go to the Lord in prayer today. Does anybody have a prayer request this morning? Yes, ma'am. Let's remember that family. They lost a sixth grade boy, wasn't it? Sixth grade son. Out of that, let's do remember this family. Let's remember the community, the classmates, the school. Let's remember all of them. It's hard on ones being like that, isn't it? That's having to suffer through a loss. And the thing that we ought to be reminded of is death is right around the corner for us also. Whether we're young or old, it doesn't matter. We need to have that on our minds. Somebody else. Cheryl was telling me about this earlier, and I'm not going to go into details at this time, but let's do remember her mother fell and hurt pretty bad. I'll say it that way. She's in rehab, but let's do remember her. But let's also remember Brother Chris. He needs our prayers. I pray he'll come back to church is what I pray he'll do too. So let's do remember Brother Chris in our prayers also. Somebody else? Yeah. Brother Mike Turnipseed, he's a preacher friend of mine that passed away this week. He's, I guess he turned 65, 66, I believe was his age. Passed away suddenly, and just remember his family. He's a member at Hartsville Church. Y'all remember him and the church also, his family in this church. Somebody else? Any other prayer requests? Let's do remember the preacher today. That's not me. Preacher today is Brother Randy Swofford, and we're glad to have him with us today. Brother Randy has preached for us at different times over the last few years, and we're glad to have him back with us. And the way I advertised you last week is you, brother, you and Sister Kendra's brother. So. I didn't figure you was. But we are glad to see each and every one here. And let's do remember Brother Randy and our prayers that the Lord would lead him as he would be preaching today. Somebody else? We'll call on one to start our prayer, but we want everybody to pray in your own way is what we would ask you to do today. Let's pray that for these requests. Let's pray always for the lost. Let's pray for one another. And let's pray that God will bless in a great way in this service today is what we'll ask you to do. As we said, we'll call on one to start our prayer, but we want everybody to pray in your own way. Brother Lane, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Thank you, thank you. Let's continue our song service with number 216. 216.
Oh,
Thankful for the good singing, for the prayers. Hope you've been blessed in these things, and I hope it's got your heart prepared for worship. And if you're not prepared, now's a good time to start asking the Lord to help you to get into that shape, to worship Him, to worship God. As I said, we have Brother Randy Swoffer. He is from Lafayette Missionary Baptist Church, and he has come in to bring a message for us today. This being Fifth Sundays, we've set aside for some of our visiting preachers. And some people will say they don't like it when the pastor's not in the pulpit. Me, I think it's good for a church to hear other preachers from time to time. It is. It's good for you to hear somebody else preach that you might be able to better help them in their ministry. But they may say things that in a different way that I say it, that may affect somebody else just a little bit different. So today we have Brother Randy Swoffer. If he wants to tell anything else about himself, we'll let him do it. But we'll turn it over to him at this time. Brother Randy, we're glad today.
Thank you, Brother Hackett. I appreciate the opportunity we have to be here today. This church has always been good to me, and I appreciate that. I appreciate the singing service, and the singing service does lay the foundation, as already been stated, for the service. I want to show my appreciation to Brother and Sister Hackett. They've always been good to me, and I appreciate it. Brother Hackett's one of our better preachers, in my opinion. He's sounder than $2. He's a sound Baptist, and I appreciate him. And I was thinking the other day, when did I first meet him? And I'm sure I did before then, but she worked at WRKM, and I remember I got to be friends with Mike Shoulders, and I saw him over there, but probably down in Pleasant Shade somewhere to service. I saw him at one time. I'm a member of the Lafayette Missionary Baptist Church. One of my sisters is here today. I'm glad she's here today, and I love her. Other sister, Dawn Scruggs, and we were raised not far from where I live now, a place called Pleasant Hill General Baptist Church. This church had a very strong missionary Baptist influence. And I went there until I was 16 years old. On August 13th, 1973, the Lord spoke peace to my soul. I will never forget it. I remember that night at an old-fashioned meeting. And the Lord spoke peace to my soul. I ain't forgot it. A man named Robert Thurman was preaching that night. And he preached, and the Holy Ghost got a hold of me, and I had to seek the Lord. Well, I don't know what time he got done, but after I got myself out of the way, about 10:30 that night, that peace come in that goes beyond explaining. And it's still today. It's still here today. I'm glad we can be saved and know it, and we're not going to lose it. I heard him as a kid. I remember Brother Thurman was talking to some brethren, and I was a kid out there, and they asked him, why don't you preach the doctrine of apostasy? He said, because the Bible doesn't teach it, and that's the losing your salvation. So I got saved there, and I'm not ashamed of that at all. Any place you get saved is a good place to be saved. Well, then I made a mistake. I believe it's a mistake to delay very long in becoming a member of the Lord's church. I believe the Bible teaches baptism. I believe in the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. But I also believe there's a commandment there to follow the Lord in baptism. And I didn't do that for 3 years. And you can never serve God like you ought to without being a member of the Lord's church. I didn't say you die and go to hell. I believe there's people in heaven today that never are members of the Lord's church. But I think it's something. If we're going to please God, we've got to be a member of the Lord's church. And that first ordinance is baptism. Amen. To get in the church. And that's what y'all believe here. I know that. So now I can remember certain things real well, but I can't remember to stop and get a half a gallon of milk to save my life. But on November 2nd, 1979, while attending a wedding ceremony, Madison Heights Baptist Church is not one of our churches. I was there at a wedding of somebody else. At 7:25, and I'm not a clock watcher. At 7:25, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, I want you to preach. And Brother Hackett, I said, I ain't doing that. And I've led singing, and I'm Sunday school superintendent, and I ain't going to do that. We just ain't going to do that. Well, that's foolishness. And the Lord chastised me for doing that. I believe in the chastening hand of God. I'm scared, as the word Macon County word is, I'm scared of him. I'm scared of the Lord. And he chastised me. And if I had not submitted to that, and I don't think I'm the best thing since Peter Pan peanut butter, but if I hadn't have done that, I believe I'd be in the ground somewhere today. I really do believe that. He chastens his children. And you're to get that chastening and to straighten yourself up. And if it don't, I believe he takes you out of here. I believe that there's bodies in the ground of people, and I don't mean their souls went to heaven, don't get me wrong. But I believe there's people that could have led useful lives, the service of God, and they rejected some things God said do, and they're gone today. That's what I believe. But that's a brief history, and I don't get too far into that. But again, thank you. You've always been good to me, this church. Thank you for that. I want to talk about the contrast in the two natures today. I've got the nature of my sisters here today. We've both got characteristics of both our father and our mother. She's got different characteristics than I do, and that's not bad, but we all have characteristics of our earthly father, don't we? But I've got characteristics, and you do too, if you've truly been born again of your heavenly father. And I'm going to tell you what, I see people in the world today that don't exhibit that, and it makes me scratch my head. I believe that a good tree will bring forth good fruit at some point in time. I don't understand, and it happens among our people, that people get born again and yet don't have any desire to join the church or to serve God. I don't understand that. Now, you may not agree with me, but I'll tell you what I think. Either they really didn't get a drink of that living water. I believe you can be emotional and not get saved. And I'm not knocking emotions now. But it's either they really didn't get born again or they're backslid to the point they're out of relationship with God. We don't believe you can backslide to the point that you lose your salvation. I'm not advocating that. But you can backslide and get like King David did, and he prayed to God, return unto me the joy of thy salvation. It's his. It ain't ours. Am I keeping my salvation? I'm not, and you're not either. It talks in 2 Peter chapter 1, and I'm not going to read all that, about a divine nature. A divine nature. I've got that today. Look in 1 Peter 1 and verse 5. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For in these things be in you, if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. Ephesians 2:10 tells us that we're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works that he has before ordained that we should walk in them. A child of God will produce good works. If somebody tells you my life is perfect and I do 100% right every day, you tell them I said they're a liar, because I don't, because I've got this nature. I've got this flesh that I deal with every day that causes me all kind of problems. But I'm going to tell you what, I'm glad that I've got a divine nature. And one of the ways I know I'm a child of God is he chastens me, as I've already said. The Bible says that he that is without chastisement is a bastard and not a son. I think we all know what that is. It talks about in Galatians chapter 5:19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, may not be the right pronunciation, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wraths, strifes, seditions, heresies, envyings, murderers, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have told you before in times past, that they which do that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now let's look at the contrast of those that are of the Lord. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. We need to walk in the Spirit and not walk in the flesh. It says in verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. My problem is reaction to my flesh to things that go on in the world every day. You ever seen somebody, and I know this is rash what I'm fixing to say, you ever seen somebody and something hits you the wrong way, so I wish I'd have slapped him. Now God's not pleased with that type of attitude. I know people that, and I've heard people say they believe they can live 24 hours and not sin. And I'm not advocating sin because we're saved, don't get me wrong. But you cannot do that because of this right here. Though the outward man perish, our outward man is dying every day in that sense. I'm here to tell you. He talked about death. He's 100% correct. Death is on our trail, and it might be around the next corner. I've heard of people every week in prayer requests here today, and I've heard of two situations this week of people that have terrible diseases called cancer, and they don't know how long that they have to live. The contrast of the two natures. One day after a while, I'm going to tell you there's a good thing to this. One day after a while, brother, I'm going to stand before God at the resurrection, and I'm going to have a new body. And that new body won't have these problems that this one generates now. Jude, the book of Jude, tells us we'll stand before him faultless in the throne of his glory. I'll stand before God one day, you will too, and everybody else here been born again, and I'm going to stand before him a perfect individual. That perfect soul will have a new body. The bodies that we see deposited in the ground or ever how that is taken care of, that's not the way it is. The resurrection, one day after a while, they'll come forth with a body just like Jesus. After the resurrection, we'll all be judged. 2 Corinthians 5:10, for all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ for the deeds done in the body. Those people, and people will ask sometimes, you mean the saved and the lost will all be judged? They most certainly will be. My answer to that is it's for the honor and for the glory of God. I'm not waiting till the judgment, as people tell me, Lanny, to find out if I'm saved or lost. I know people that tell me they won't know until they get to the judgment. How sad that is. Ever how you die in this world is how you'll be in the resurrection. The things about this nature I've talked about and the two categories, we need to exhibit them. I'm not perfect at that, and nobody else is, but we need to keep in mind. And I've learned even lately of how to, and I should have, of how to keep a prayer on our heart just about every spare minute. And we need to try to do that. I was burdened about something early this morning and burdened about this service. I didn't sleep well. I said, Lord, you've got to help me. Lord, I can't do it without you. You've got to help me. Lord, would you please help me? I need to go to sleep, and there's some things on my mind I need to get off. And you know what I did? I went to sleep, and I woke up before daylight, and all I had on my mind was not the troubles of this world, but the Scriptures. I'm so thankful for that, Paul. Listen. The Holy Ghost will communicate with us, and I'm not charismatic today. The Holy Ghost will communicate with us if we want to. The Holy Ghost is never in opposition to the Word of God, too, by the way. Boy, I've had him speak to my heart. I think of that song I thought this week. There's a peace that I got when I got saved that can't be moved by anything in the world. By what's going on the other side of the earth or what's in Murfreesboro, Lafayette, or anything else. It's a peace that goes beyond understanding. But there's a peace God gives when we need Him, when we're troubled with the things of this life. And God will give us a peace if we'll ask Him and he'll whisper sweet peace. I don't mean be saved twice now, but he'll whisper sweet peace to your soul. Boy, I'm thankful he does that. These things I'm talking to you about the contrast of the flesh. My grandfather, and I don't know if anybody much here besides my sister knew him, but he had a great influence on my life, and I think about this every day. He would get up at Lafayette Church, and he would say, "When the Lord saved me, he changed my want-tos." What'd that mean? It changed his desires. Lanny, he didn't live perfect. Me and Lanny were friends in school. I don't see him much, but I appreciate him. What'd that mean? That means that it changed, he said, it changed my desires. I didn't want to do things the world no more. I wanted to please God. Did he do that every day he lived? No, he said he didn't. But he was a good man, I can say that. See what he did? He hauled me around several miles. And that's what molded me and what I am today. He hauled me several miles with a PA system in the trunk to different places. And that's how I appreciate him and my mother and daddy. Our mother wasn't real hot, real high on going to Sunday school. But they did see that we took church. We would get into it. My dad worked out of a 68 truck bought new, and it had a utility body on it. And they get us up on Sunday morning, and we would, and there wasn't no discussion about what we was going to do. They got us dressed, they fed us, and somehow we all got in the truck that had a strict shift. I don't remember how we did that. We all got dressed, and me and my two sisters and my dad in that truck, and he took us to the Lord's house every Sunday. If they were sick, then a man named Dewey, we called him Dewey Gent, but his name was Dewey Gent, and he would come by and give us, boy, I'm glad of that. People not doing that today, did you know that? People are not, I pass by the road and I see people that are supposed to be on the way up here, members of the Lord's church, and they've got children and they're doing everything on the Lord's day but taking their children to the house of God. I substitute teach in the school, and some of you are teachers, and I see Mr. Brother Wilburn here in the school, and I think of those kids, and I think many times, how many of these children will never hear the gospel or not be taught the wrong thing, and they'll die and go to hell? It's a whole lot more to be saved, in my opinion. We're living in a terrible, needy time. I don't always display it, and you don't either. But I'm glad I've got a divine nature. Yes. Two of the things my wife says about my mother, and it's true, that I got from my mother is I like to travel and I like to eat out. Now, that's true, and I do that. I've got the laugh of my dad sometimes. They weren't perfect parents. They did the best they could about some things, but I do sure do appreciate them taking us to the house of God. What if I'd lived somewhere and wasn't took to a place like this or somewhere and never heard about Jesus or heard about a plan that required that I live good enough to get there or that I be baptized into a body? I don't believe those things, and you don't either. Salvation is totally and wholly by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. The faith necessary to believe is not a faith that we can self-produce. Now, I'm not a Calvinist about this, so to speak, but I believe that when a person truly surrenders, like I finally did one night, he enables to look to Jesus and grants the faith necessary to believe. If I was trying to do this all on my own, I'd be in trouble today. I'm here today not to put on a show, not to tell you how good I am, because I'm not good. The only thing good about me at all is what he did for me on August 13th, 1973, at that little General Baptist Church. Boy, that was good. If you're here today and you're not saved, you need to be saved worse than you need anything else. As the brother said earlier, does anybody here have the promise that you're going to get to the house today? They live in Pleasant Shade. I live in Lafayette. Do they have the promise? No, we don't. And I hope everybody does. Death is on our trail. I talked to a friend yesterday, and I won't write you a book. And he asked me to pray for his wife, and she thought she was clean of cancer. And now she's got a place that's growing fast, he says, about an inch down inside her lung or somewhere. He's worried about it. I see why. May God bless this church. I'm glad we got churches like this in cities like this. You know, you look at the Bible, and you'll see that the churches in the Bible were around villages and cities. I'm not opposed to a church being up Sanderson Hall. I'm not talking about that. I used to have fun with Brother Jerry Reynolds. He's gone now. I had a lot of fun with him. He was very serious-minded. And I told him that somebody told me, and this was all in fun, that to have a Sound Baptist church, you had to look out the back and be a cornfield, tobacco patch, or a hayfield. Well, he didn't understand that. he didn't understand that. And I had to sort of explain that. Got myself in trouble. May God bless Murfreesboro Church. Keep on preaching the gospel, getting people saved, like the commission says, and I know you will, baptizing them, and then teaching. We've done a poor job overall in our system of not teaching our people. I had to get to be an adult to learn the things I should have been taught as a youth. I don't know why. God bless you. We'll turn service back over to Brother Hackett.
There is a difference, and I'm going to use it this way, from the inward man from the outward man. There is a difference, and the want to has changed. Unfortunately, a lot of times, as Paul talks about the warfare of the flesh against the spirit, the flesh wins way too often. And after a while, as he was talking about it in there, in his message, you get to a place where you really just don't even pay any attention to the Spirit. Amen. And when you don't pay attention to the Spirit, you get out away from God. As he said, not a sinner as being lost and away from God, but you get to a point where you're not worth much.
Amen.
I'm going to say it that way. You're not worth much to God. And I will say this, you better be careful. If you're not worth much to God, there comes a place where that he will take you out of this world. If you become too much of a hindrance, he will. No, it's not popular, but it's true. It is true. Anybody got a word of testimony or anything on your heart this morning? 13 in the gray book, he said. The message today talked about a difference between the inward man and the outward man.
Amen.
And if there's no difference, if you're a sinner on the inside and on the outside both, you need to make a change.
Amen.
And I want to give you an opportunity to come to the altar, pray. I want you to understand something. If you come to this altar to pray, that's what you're there for. You're not there for me to tell you about how to get saved or anything other than I'll just say, you just trust the Lord. The preacher cannot save you. Nobody can save you. No deacon, nobody, no song leader. They can't save you. But if you're a sinner in the sight of God today, this altar is open to those that might want to seek the Lord. We have these two benches down here. If you want to consider these other benches an altar, that's fine. Lord doesn't have to have you on these benches here. Matter of fact, he'll save you in the bench you're in right now. But you got to be willing to bow before him. It's what you've got to be willing to do in order to be saved. And when you bow before him, then you trust the Lord with everything you've got inside of you. Everything. And when you give everything to him, he'll save your soul. So while we sing this song today, while we stand and sing, if you'd like to seek God today, come and pray. Come to him and pray today while we sing.
Grab you a gray book. 13 has been requested. Number 13.